Let us now turn to read God's word, and the reading is from the Old Testament and in the book of Jeremiah and chapter 36. Jeremiah and chapter 36. And we're going to read verses 1 through 24. Jeremiah and chapter 36, reading from the beginning of that chapter. And it came to pass in the fourth year of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, that this word came unto Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, Take thee a roll of a book, and write therein all the words that I have spoken unto thee against Israel, and against Judah, and against all the nations, from the day I spake unto thee, from the days of Josiah, even unto this day. It may be that the house of Judah will hear all the evil which I purpose to do unto them, that they may return every man from his evil ways, that I may forgive their iniquity and their sin. Then Jeremiah called Baruch the son of Neriah, and Baruch wrote from the mouth of Jeremiah all the words of the Lord, which he had spoken unto him upon a roll of a book. And Jeremiah commanded Baruch, saying, I am shut up. I cannot go into the house of the Lord. Therefore, go thou and read in the roll which thou hast written from my mouth, the words of the Lord in the ears of the people in the Lord's house upon the fasting day. And also thou shalt read them in the ears of all Judah that come out of their cities. It may be they will present their supplication before the Lord, and will return every one from his evil way. For great is the anger and the fury that the Lord hath pronounced against this people. And Baruch the son of Neriah did according to all that Jeremiah the prophet commanded him, reading in the book the words of the Lord in the Lord's house. And it came to pass in the fifth year of Jehoiakim the son of Josiah, king of Judah, in the ninth month, that they proclaimed a fast before the Lord to all the people in Jerusalem, and to all the people that came from the cities of Judah unto Jerusalem. Then read Baruch in the book the words of Jeremiah in the house of the Lord, in the chamber of Gemariah the son of Shaphan the scribe, in the higher court at the entry of the new gate of the Lord's house, in the ears of all the people. When Micaiah the son of Gemariah the son of Shaphan had heard out of the book all the words of the Lord, then he went down into the king's house, into the scribe's chamber, and lo, all the priests sat there, even Elishama the scribe, and Deliah the son of Shemaiah, and Elnathan the son of Achbor, and Gemariah the son of Shaphan, and Sedekiah the son of Hananiah, and all the princes. Then Micaiah declared unto them all the words that he had heard when Baruch read the book in the ears of the people. Therefore all the princes sent Jehudi, the son of Nethaniah, the son of Shelmiah, the son of Cushi, unto Baruch, saying, Take in thine hand the roll wherein thou wast read in the ears of the people, and come. So Baruch, the son of Neriah, took the roll in his hand, came unto them. And they said unto him, Sit down now and read it in our ears. So Baruch read it in their ears. Now it came to pass, when they had heard all the words, they were afraid, both one and other, and said unto Baruch, We will surely tell the king of all these words. And they asked Baruch, saying, Tell us now, how didst thou write all these words at his mouth? Then Baruch answered them, He pronounced all these words unto me with his mouth, and I wrote them with ink in the book. Then said the princes unto Baruch, Go, hide thee, thou and Jeremiah, and let no man know where ye be. And they went in to the king into the court. But they laid up the roll in the chamber of Elishama the scribe, and told all the words in the ears of the king. So the king sent Jehudi to fetch the roll, and he took it out of Elishama the scribe's chamber. And Jehudi read it in the ears of the king, and in the ears of all the princes who stood beside the king. Now the king sat in the winter house in the ninth month, and there was a fire on the hearth burning before him. And it came to pass that when Jehudi had read three or four leaves, or columns, that's what it means, he cut it with the penknife and cast it into the fire that was on the hearth, until all the roll was consumed in the fire that was in the hearth. Yet they were not afraid, nor rent their garments, neither the king, nor any of the servants that heard all these words. Amen, and may God add his blessing and give us understanding as we constantly read his holy word. Shall we turn to Psalm 19 as we continue our worship and praise, speaking there of the qualities of God's word which we have just read and the effect it has as we read it and look for its effect as it's preached. Psalm 19 at verse 7, God's law is perfect and converts the soul in sin that lies. God's testimony is most sure and makes the simple wise. The statutes of the Lord are right and do rejoice the heart. The Lord's command is pure and doth light to the eyes impart. Unspotted is the fear of God and doth endure forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. They more than gold, yea, much fine gold to be desired are, than honey from the comb that droppeth sweeter far. Moreover, they thy servant warn how he his life should frame. A great reward provided is for them that keep the same. Psalm 19 from 7, God's law is perfect. Will you come back with me to the book of Jeremiah? We are indeed going to look at chapter 36, but I want us also just for a moment to read some verses from chapter 25. So if you turn to Jeremiah chapter 25, and we're going to read the first 10 verses of this chapter. The word that came to Jeremiah concerning all the people of Judah in the fourth year of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, that was the first year of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, the which Jeremiah the prophet spake unto all the people of Judah and to all the inhabitants of Jerusalem, saying, from the 13th year of Josiah the son of Amon, king of Judah, even unto this day, that is 23 years, the word of the Lord hath come to me, and I have spoken unto you, rising early and speaking, but ye have not hearkened. And the Lord hath sent me unto you all his servants the prophets, rising early and sending them, but ye have not hearkened, nor inclined your ear to hear. They say, turn ye again now every one from his evil way and from the evil of your doings, and dwell in the land that the Lord hath given unto you, to your fathers, forever and ever. And go not after other gods to serve them and to worship them and to provoke me to anger with the words of your hands, and I will do you no hurt. Yet ye have not hearkened unto me, saith the Lord, that ye might provoke me to anger with the works of your hands to your own heart. Therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, because ye have not heard my words, behold, I will send and take all the families of the north, saith the Lord, and Nebuchadnezzar the king of Babylon, my servant, and will bring them against this land and against the inhabitants thereof, and against all the nations round about, and will utterly destroy them and make them an astonishment, and an hissing, and a perpetual desolation. Moreover, I will take from them the voice of mirth and the voice of gladness, and the voice of the bridegroom and the voice of the bride, the sound of the millstones and the light of the candle. And this whole land shall be a desolation and an astonishment. And the nations shall serve the king of Babylon 70 years. The theme that I want us to linger on today and to meditate upon is brought out for us very powerfully and simply in that second reading from Jeremiah 25. And that is the theme of persistence. Persistence. We see it in different situations, different settings. We see it coming from different people. There's the persistence of the devil in his hostility towards Christ, his believing people and his cause. The devil will use in that persistence a whole variety of methods. So many different approaches, but all of them with the same end. There's persistence exhibited by our Lord in the way in which he had prayer as the foundation of his life and ministry amongst people and the public ministry engaged in. And he commended that vital place of persistence in prayer to the believer. There's persistence in people we read of in the scriptures. The blind man outside the city gates, and he heard that Jesus was passing by and he wanted to get to Jesus, but the disciples tried to put him down and he says, "No, I'm getting to him." The persistence in seeking the Lord had not been deterred by those round about him. Persistence. In these verses we've read from Jeremiah chapter 25, there is the persistence of the Lord in dealing with his own people. We have here a crucial event and moment in history. It doesn't perhaps come home to us, but the very first verse of that chapter 25 is the one place where there is a time marker. It's as if the Lord is putting a circle round a date on a calendar. It's as if the Lord is underlining a diary page. And he's saying, on that date, when this king ruled and when that king ruled, on that specific date, this happened. Something is fixed in the memory of the nation, and something is fixed for us also today. He was there reminding them of what he had done for them in the past, because something's changed with these people now. Again, we might not notice it, but the very end of that first verse, this is the first year of Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon. The Lord had spoken many times in all of these prophets that he had been sending, calling the people back to himself. The Lord had told the people of the consequences if they disobeyed him. He was going to raise up an army that would take them into exile. They thought that this was rubbish. It wouldn't happen. The Lord wouldn't do that to his people. And so they continued in their own lifestyle. And the Lord kept on repeating the message time after time after time, telling them what was going to happen. But now it comes to the crunch day. And the Lord is putting a red circle round it. This is the first year of Nebuchadnezzar. And as you see there back in verse 9, he is described as the servant of the Lord. He is my servant. He's going to do my purpose and fulfill my purpose again amongst God's people. Warnings therefore are plenty, coming from the prophets, warnings of the consequences of disobeying God's word, dismissed by these people. But now a red letter day has arrived, and the God is going to fulfill everything that he said. And this This is not a one-off marker. This is not a one-off warning on this crucial day set in the calendar of these people. Jeremiah tells us, for 23 years I've warned, I've told you again and again and again. And he's only reflecting what the Lord himself is doing. The Lord has sent me, rising early and sending them. That same persistence that Jeremiah reflected is only a reflection of what the Lord himself was saying and doing in verse 4 there. And again in verse 4 of chapter 44. The Lord repeatedly sending the same messengers with the same message to his people to change their habits of a lifetime. Turn you from your evil ways, from the evil of your doings. Abandon all these specific things in your life that come underneath this condemnation. Amend the habits of your life and live according to his pattern and in his way. The Lord speaking, calling them back to himself. And he says, when you do that, I will do you no hurt. But the people disregarded it. They wouldn't believe that the Lord would act against his people. They thought, this just won't happen to us. But the Lord is there in verse 7. You have not hearkened to me. Therefore, this is what I will do. The people were put on notice. The people were put on notice. The circle was round this day in their calendar, in their life. And they were put on notice that this is what God is going to do. And you've only got yourselves to blame for what happens, is what he says. Before we go any further, we listen to what's happened in the history books, but it comes right down to ourselves also today. How many times have we heard it? How many years have we heard it? How many places have we been to hear it? How many preacher faces and voices come back to our memory? How many have we heard simply illustrating what we've got here, the persistence of the Lord in his dealings with you and me? Here this morning we're alone. Just you and God. Me and God. And the way in which he has been in my life and in yours. How many times can we go back and turn the pages? And how many times can we find days when the Lord was good and gracious? How many illustrations do we have of that persistence in speaking and in dealing with us? Rising early, speaking. But what have we done with it? Well, that's the theme, the persistence then. That's why I wanted to read chapter 25. Because when we come forward into chapter 36, we have there an example of that very thing that is mentioned there in chapter 25. Although we're moving forward 11 chapters, it's exactly the same time, August, or the autumn rather, the autumn of the year 605, that we have in chapter 36. The date is fixed. And so now, what does the Lord say to Jeremiah? I've spoken these 23 years. They haven't listened to what you've got to say. Very well. Let's get it on paper. Let's write it down. And so the instruction is to Baruch to write the words of Jeremiah from the Lord. He has been given a serious message to preach. It's come from the Lord. Year upon year he's been doing it. And what reaction has he got from it? All of these sermons, these talks that he's given, Jeremiah might well have written down a little note and left it lying here and lying there. For these 23 years, he's got all of these sermon notes, if we want to call it that. An outline, a summary. So now the Lord says, gather them all together. Put it all down in a scroll. Organize it in a permanent record so that the people will know exactly what I've been saying to them. The example of the persistence of the Lord. He doesn't leave it just simply ringing in their ears. He's now giving it in their hands, a scroll of his word to them. So let's simply, quickly, briefly think of these words and this episode as it applies to ourselves. And the very first word that we've got to look at, the very first thing we've got to consider is, what's the purpose behind all of this? This persistence in the Lord's dealing with them. The persistence of the Lord's dealings with us. What's the spiritual significance of his ministry over all these years? He brings home to them the scale of their warnings. He brings home the issues at risk. It's their soul and their eternal destiny that's on the line. He brings home to them the consequences of a disobedience. The Lord then and the Lord now behind his dealings with us. Peter tells us that the word of the Lord endures forever. So what Jeremiah was saying to these people stands powerful in its application to us today. There's no best before date on God's word. There's no used by date on God's word. There's no safe date that after it passes we can throw it off the shelf and get it out of our life. No, God's word is not limited by time, history, or geography. Why? Why has God given us a written record as he gave it to them underneath the pen of Baruch? Why? Simply because of the spiritual issues at risk, as we've already said. Many people today will dismiss everything Christian as if, oh, you're just a spoil sport. You just want to limit our life. We're restricted in what we can do because of what you're saying to us. You're denying us so many of these pleasures that are on hand and available round about us. So many people will put a negative spin on the Christian message, but nothing is further from the truth. Nothing is further from the truth. The Bible tells us in Psalm 84 that God withholds no good thing from his people. Our Bible tells us that God seeks the very best for his people. And that's the whole purpose in writing to them, in giving our Bibles to us. There we have it, simply set for us in verse 3 of chapter 36. It may be that the house of Judah will hear all the evil which I purpose to do to them, that they may return every man from his evil way, that I may forgive their iniquity and their sin. That's God's intention and purpose behind speaking to them and speaking to us. That they would listen. That we would listen. That we would escape the danger that is set before us, clearly painted for us. That we might know, that they might know pardon and forgiveness. The Lord had been very clear in the warnings and threatenings that he had given to these people. I want to dip quite deliberately into the history of them, just to illustrate it. We might not be familiar with all of the history of the book of Jeremiah, but just let me give you two or three verses that are so important. When we go back to chapter 32 and verse 24 of this book, and I'm going to read it. Behold the mounds, that is the siege mounts that they build against the walls to get into the city. Behold these buildings of mound on earth. They are come to take the city. And the city is given to the hand of the Chaldeans, that is the Babylonians, that may fight against it because of the sword and of the famine and of the pestilence. And what thou hast spoken is come to pass. Behold, thou seest it. God had said it and warned them that this is what's going to happen. And they had disregarded it, so now it's coming to pass. There the Babylonians are surrounding it. And you think you're going to escape. And you think you're going to get away. Come forward another couple of chapters to chapter 34 this time. Chapter 36 this time. Thus says the God of Israel. Go and speak to Zedekiah in chapter 34 verse 2. The king of Judah, and tell him. Thus says the Lord God. Behold, I will give this city into the hand of the king of Babylon. And he shall burn it with fire. And thou shalt not escape out of his hand. But thou shalt surely be taken and delivered into his hand. This is what God's purpose was for his people. Yes, he had warned them. Yes, he had spoken to them. But they weren't listening. And he tells them that you're going into exile. To be refined and purified as my people. And they thought that there was a way of escape. They thought that there was a way of getting out. But the Lord will see to it that this will not happen. There is no way of escape. There is no way of getting out. When they realize, therefore, the danger that they're in, when they realize what the Lord has been saying is true, the intention and the purpose is that they repent and they return. Why does the Lord persist with preaching his word and his message to us week after week after week? Why does the Lord persist to bring us to our spiritual senses and to bring us to the Savior's feet? The danger we face, the anger that's before us, the judgment that we're sinners in God's hand, the fearful place of hell, the suffering and agony that is there for all eternity. The Lord fills in the spiritual landscape for us all. And he tells us about it often, after day after day after day, so that we would turn from the path that we're presently walking on. Why does he warn us? To spur our souls into spiritual concern, that we grasp hold of the Savior for the salvation of our souls. Persistence in speaking to them. Persistence in speaking to us. The purpose of the Lord then. But we've got to move on. Not only is there that purpose seen here, we see secondly the public proclamation that took place of this word. Baruch was given instructions to copy it, to write it down. He wrote it all down, we're told there in verse 4. All the words of the Lord. It wasn't a selection, a summary, it wasn't a prese. Word after word, as Jeremiah spoke it and gathered it from his notes, it was written down in the roll. And he was under instructions to make a public proclamation of it. Go therefore to the house of the Lord, where the people are coming and going. This public thoroughfare, go there and let it be known. A prominent position for all to hear it. It's not limited to the inner circle of the palace and the king and his followers. It's not limited to the princes and those in authority behind the scenes and the civil servants. There was a threat against the whole nation. Therefore, the whole nation must hear it. Ezekiel tells us about the watchman that he was to be on the walls, watching for danger approaching. And whenever he saw the enemy coming, the watchman's responsibility was to tell the people, get inside the gates and close the gates to protect you against the danger that's coming. The trumpet was sounded and everybody ran. They depended upon that watchman for their very survival. That's what Baruch was to these people. He was the watchman sounding the trumpet, giving them the warning. They could not plead ignorance. They could never turn around and say, we don't know what the Lord was saying. We don't know what the Lord was meaning. They have 23 years of Jeremiah's ministry. They could not plead ignorance. The buck stops with them. The buck stops with them. The buck stops with us. He has made it known to us clearly and plainly. And therefore the responsibility has shifted. Oh yes, there was the responsibility of the watchman on the wall to tell the people that were outside the wall to get inside the city. That was his responsibility. But having done it, the responsibility then fell upon the people who heard it. Will we go? Or will we stay? I've just got this final row of potatoes to earth up. I've just got this one last sheaf of corn to beat. I'm just going to stay and I'm going to finish it off. That's the responsibility these people had. That's the responsibility that we have. The public proclamation of God's word. What are we doing with it? We can postpone reacting and responding because other things have a priority, like, for example, the potatoes or the corn or the cattle to be gathered who have strayed a wee bit away. And we see it happening today. And we feel it more and more so as we're getting on in life, maybe. We see people today filling their lives with trivia. People filling their lives with trivia. And at the end, these things will just simply melt away and leave them empty with nothing. You remember just a few weeks back, we were looking at that young ruler. And the very heading we had sums it up appropriate for this very moment. There we had the ruler who seemed to have everything. But he lacked something. He lacked that spiritual component and that spiritual trust in the Lord. All of us have the pressure of urgent spiritual issues bearing down on our souls right now. What are we doing with it? Postponing it for another day? Or maybe we're looking at our own protection in place. We've got our own plans, thank you very much indeed. The walls of the city are fine. But I've got a little booth just out the city walls, and I'm going into that booth, and that's where I'm going to be safe. No need for me to run. We can all devise our own plans. We can all think of our own protection. But that won't work. When the Lord comes and executes judgment against you and me, when the Lord looks for an account of the way we've lived and what we've done, there is only one place of sure protection and peace and rest. And it certainly isn't in the flimsy construction of our own hands through our lifetime. The only place of protection is what the Lord has proclaimed and appointed. the finished and perfect work of Jesus Christ, his Son. That and that alone will stand the test. The public proclamation that was made to the whole nation and the responsibility that passed to them when they heard it. So yes, there's a purpose. Yes, there's a proclamation. But there's more than that. There's a presentation that has to be made when that proclamation went out. Something very significant I want to separate out and to emphasize. We've read a way in which the princes got to hear about it, the way in which they hid Baruch, Jeremiah, and the scroll, and they went and told the king. And the king eventually summoned Baruch and said, take the scroll with you and come to me. And they there were before the king, and they spoke. They spoke the words that Jeremiah had given them. They were identifying with Jeremiah the prophet. Jeremiah was a pain to this king. Jeremiah was like a thorn in his foot. Jeremiah was constantly condemning and challenging the king. So therefore, once they stood up and says, we're speaking in Jeremiah's name. Once they said that, their book was marked. When you go forward just a few chapters to chapter 45, there we have Baruch putting his heart on his sleeve, and he's telling us what happened because of what he's done. And there Jeremiah, it's a short chapter, but there Jeremiah is giving the assurance to Baruch, if you go with me, if you come with me, you won't lose out, you'll escape with your life. A presentation to people who are hostile. We mentioned responsibility of those who heard it. We now here have the responsibility of those who speak it. Me and you, as we share God's word with others round about us. And again, we have the same kind of thinking as Baruch had. Well, I've sided with the Christian cause. I've sided with the Lord. I'm speaking in his name. My book is marked. What will this do for me? What will people think of me? How will it go against me? That kind of apprehension that Baruch had, it hasn't gone away. It's still there as we seek to serve our Lord and speak of him to others. The presentation to the king, but the responsibility nevertheless that Baruch had. He had been sent to do this work. He was not alone in doing it. There was a promise of protection and provision and presence with them on all that he was doing. Right away through this chapter, we have it repeated for us time and time again. But perhaps we have it just simply set out for us in verse 26. The king commanded these people, these three princes, to take Baruch the scribe and Jeremiah the prophet. But the Lord hid them. There we have a simple demonstration of the Lord on their side, keeping them safe. The presentation to the king. Oh yes, the king thought that his plans were better plans. The king thought that his alternative was a better alternative. No, what this message of Jeremiah and Baruch, what he's saying doesn't wash with me. It won't work. I will escape. How many people say that against God's word today? And it's brought out for us so powerfully in the next chapter, in chapter 37. And I'm going to read a few verses from verse 7. Bear in mind, they're wanting to throw overboard what Jeremiah has been saying. Jeremiah has been saying, you're going into exile, you're going into Babylon. You're not going to be killed and slaughtered there, but you're going to be refined in the fire there. And the people in Jerusalem says, no, we're not, we're staying here. And if we can't stay here, we're going to Egypt. And Egypt will protect us and Egypt will defend us. Let's read what it says in verse 7 of chapter 37. Thus says the Lord, the God of Israel. Thus shall you say to the king of Judah, that sent you to me to inquire of me. Behold, Pharaoh's army, which has come forth to help you, shall return to Egypt into their own land. And the Babylonians shall come again and fight against this city and take it and burn with fire. Thus says the Lord, deceive not yourselves, saying, again you can hear the king saying this, all the Chaldeans, they'll surely depart from us, for they shall not depart. And then listen to what it says in verse 10. For though you had smitten, though you had killed or fought against the whole army of the Chaldeans, there remains only wounded men. Yet the Lord says, these wounded men will rise up from his tent and burn this city with fire. The purposes of the Lord will be indeed fulfilled, even if it means wounded men on the battlefield getting up and doing the bidding of the Lord. Your plans, they just will not happen. They will not be fulfilled. Listen, therefore, to what the king is saying. Can you imagine the responsibility that was there on Baruch as he told all this to the king? Can you imagine the way in which there's always a temptation, oh, I better hold back a little here. I better not say all that there because it's only going to make things more and more difficult for me. But he didn't hold back anything. He told them all that there was to be told, even about exile, even about judgment, even about the foolishness of going into Egypt. There was no holding back. There was no dulling of the truth. The sharp edges and the corners were left in place because it was God's word that he was bringing to the people. The purpose, the public proclamation, the presentation to the king, briefly as we close, the perverse response to it all. What did they do with this? It was the winter time, we're told, and there was a fire burning there when the king was there summoning Baruch. He started to read and we're told there that every three or four columns, it's like a scroll on two pieces of wood. And every time he read three or four columns, then the king just took a knife and threw it in the fire. Baruch didn't give up. It was hard for him to carry on, but he kept on reading and he took another three columns in the fire. It was deliberate. It was sustained. It was methodical. This wasn't a rage reaction of this man. This was cold-blooded opposition. And that's what makes it all the more frightening and fearful. The open defiance of the Lord, blatant, cold and calculating. The perverse response of the king. Let's not lose that application to ourselves. Let's not lose the application to ourselves. Sometimes people say, well, let's just put the Bible to the one side. Let's just simply ignore it today and explain it away in other ways. And people say, well, if we can get that way, then God's threats just melt away. It won't happen as God has said it. And we're safe. Things don't change in this book. Remember what we said, God's word endures forever. These things that God has said, they don't go away just because we shut the book, just because we deny them, just because we explain them in other ways, they don't go away. The perverse reaction of these people, we're told they were not afraid. The very last verse we read, verse 24. They were not afraid. They didn't rend their garments. There was no concern over them whatsoever about their souls. They were bold in their defiance of the Lord. We're getting that kind of person more and more in our society today. Open defiance, putting their chest out and their chin up and challenging God. They're prepared to argue with God. They're prepared to defy the Lord. They're prepared to go contrary to the Lord. And they're prepared to embrace and to recognize and give credibility to things that God deliberately condemns. That's the state of our society today. People don't fear God. And the consequences will be severe and dire for us. The pleadings of the Lord with these people then. The way in which he had told them, you're going into Babylon and you're going there to exile and you're going to be there for 70 years and all these things are going to happen. And they say, no, they won't. And God speaks to us of spiritual matters concerning our souls. And he tells us that we're sinners in need of a Savior and that we cannot save ourselves. And the only one who can is the Lord Jesus Christ. And we say, oh, no, that's not done. And we resort to our own devices and our own thoughts and our own arguments. And we have blatant defiance of God. We're not afraid of him. That's the way society is today. And we should be scared. And we should be afraid when people behave like that. The Lord's persistence then. The Lord's persistence in dealing with us. The way in which he speaks time and time again, giving his blessing through preaching. The way time and time again the Lord works in our lives through providences. The way time after time the Lord brings back to our memories things said or things done, things we've seen. But there is the persistence. The persistence in the Lord speaking to us, even as he is speaking to us here today. Getting up early, sending forth people, his prophets, day after day after day. And the responsibility then comes down upon us. What are we doing with what God has said? What are we doing with God's dealings in our lives? How do we respond to this amazing persistence of God's grace to you and me? Let us pray. O gracious Lord and God, how magnificent indeed are thy dealings with us. How gracious the intervention in our lives, not for judgment, but to bring the message of life and hope in our hearing. Lord, may we pay attention to what thou dost say, and may these words have an effect upon us, and may we be drawn ever closer to thyself. O Lord our God, in thy power, in thy might, in thy mercy, deal with each one of us alone and apart here this morning. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. We close by singing from Psalm 85. Psalm 85, and we're singing the last four verses from verse 8. I'll hear what God the Lord will speak. To his folk he'll speak peace, and to his saints, but let them not return to foolishness. To them that fear him, surely near is his salvation, that glory in our land may have her habitation. Truth met with mercy, righteousness, and peace kissed mutually. Truth springs from earth, and righteousness looks down from heaven high. Yea, what is good the Lord shall give, our land shall yield and increase. Justice to set us in his steps shall go before his face. Psalm 85, from 8 to the end, I'll hear what God the Lord will speak. And now may grace, mercy, and peace from God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, rest upon and abide with you all. Amen.